How many remember what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks? I heard somebody say it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be bashful. We're talking about being a fan or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? However, today, I'm not going to continue on that tour the way I had originally planned, although we're going to continue to talk about fan or follower to a degree. Next week, we will take it up with the scripture that I had intended for this week. I was thinking over these last few days, this week in particular, that this summer, late summer, this fall, we've talked about some difficult things. We've talked about prayer for quite a while. I mean, that's not difficult, but I challenged us. I've been very, very direct. I challenged us in the arena of prayer. I challenged us on the first part of September when I talked about God's institution of marriage. And now for some weeks we've been in this category, this arena, if you will, of fan or follower. And I have challenged us and challenged us and challenged us. I have been very direct. And this week I was contemplating, Lord, have I been too hard on them? I think sometimes today I have some friends here that happen to be college wrestlers, and I suspect that their coach would push them more and more and more because he knows they've got more to give. That's kind of the way I've felt with you, brothers and sisters. I push and I'm direct because I think that the body has more to give back to the living God. And so I was thinking this week, have I been too hard, Lord? Have I been too direct? Have I been too over the top, so to speak? My intent, brothers and sisters, I think you know, is never, ever, never to chase people away from the living God, but to point people to Him and to challenge the church to be all that it can be for the living God. That is my intent. And while I was contemplating that thought this week, I read a little story. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about that story. And then look at one verse for today to challenge us again. Have you heard the name Robert Ray Courtney? Nobody. Maybe if I throw in a few more tidbits, you'll know. Robert Courtney was a pharmacist in Kansas City. Now anybody here heard that name? Robert Ray Courtney was a pharmacist in Kansas City that somewhere in the course of his life decided to dilute the medication that he was giving to cancer patients for personal gain. Now have you heard of him? That's what I thought. Some of you would have heard of him. Robert Courtney was a churchgoer. Doesn't matter what kind of church, he was a churchgoer. And he was a deacon in that church. But today he is serving 30 years in federal prison. Because somewhere along his life, he decided to dilute the medication for cancer patients to make more gain for himself. You see, you take in one prescription, you cut it in half, and you pass it out. You get two prescriptions worth of money for one prescription's worth of healing. And for 9 years, this gentleman, in and around the Kansas City area, diluted 98,000 prescriptions, taking away vital medicine for 4,200 cancer patients, many of whom died very prematurely. Of course, they perhaps would have. After all, they were cancer patients. But he was metering out the medicines rather than giving them the full dose and then passing on some of that other dose to another person and collecting again and again and again for the same dose. You can read this. All you have to do is type it into any search engine, write in this man's name, and you can read all about this. There's many civil suits right now pending against him because their family members died prematurely, they suppose, because of diluted cancer formulations. Over the course of this 9 years, Mr. Courtney made an additional $19 million in fraud. He's now in federal prison serving 30 years. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, for a moment. This man was entrusted with the responsibility of handing out life-saving medicine. You still with me? He was entrusted with this responsibility. But for the sake of personal gain, he diluted these medicines to the point where it could not help. This is a tragic story, isn't it? This is a true story. Like I said, you can go to any search engine and you can Google in his name and you'll get the whole account. And I was thinking this week, Father God, sometimes I think I'm a little over the top. I'm like that coach that wants a little more from the sheep, from the congregation, because I know they got more to give for you. And I was wondering this week, Father God, have I been over the top? Have I been too direct? And I read this story. Take this story now, brothers and sisters, and apply it spiritually. You start to get what I've got this week. You see what I'm saying? I'm not a pharmacist. But I have been called to be a shepherd for God. I have been called to be a shepherd to you in this time, in this place, for now. I have been called by God to shepherd the flock. I have been entrusted with a responsibility to you and to this community to tell them there's good news and His name is Jesus. To challenge the church to be holy people. To challenge people, men and women, boys and girls, rich and poor, old and young, it doesn't matter, to be followers of Jesus. I have challenged us this, brothers and sisters, because it is vitally important. I feel that responsibility. I have been trusted with to tell you and this community there's good news. And friends, I will not dilute the gospel. This story God hit me with at perfect timing, like He always does. Because I was wrestling in my spirit, God, am I over the top? I don't want to push people from you, oh God. I want to invite people to you. And I want to invite people to be all they can be for you as followers of the Most High God. And then He laid this story on my heart. And I know sometimes, friends, I get very direct. Sometimes I probably even step on toes. But there's too much at stake to dilute the gospel of Jesus. When I've been talking about fan or follower, it's because there is a whole lot of fans in America. There's too many fans in church that have not become followers yet of Jesus. We're a fan. Remember the definition? An enthusiastic admirer. Yep, Jim, I believe in God. But have I surrendered and become His follower? That's what He expects of us. Not this at arm's length, yeah, I'll take an hour worth of Jesus on Sunday morning. Maybe He expects us to be passionate, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow followers. That's what Jesus expected then. That's what He expects of us today. And I, by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and by His Word, am not about to dilute that. God has an expectation for His church to be holy. For me to dilute the gospel is a complete disservice to our Heavenly Father. for me to dilute the gospel is a lie to you. If I come along and say to you, yeah, so-and-so, just be a good person, you'll be all right. That's a lie. If I come along to you and say, yeah, just get baptized sometime in your life or show up at church a few times, you'll be good to go at Judgment Day. That's a lie. It's a disservice to God. You remember what we saw last week in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Matthew 7, 21, 22 and 23. If you didn't, you can look them up. This is serious stuff. Jesus said, enter in at the narrow gate. And he also said at the end of 14, because few are ever going to find it. And he reminded us in verse 22 of Matthew 7, we looked at it last week, many on that day had assumed, I'm in, I'm good to go. And many, he said in Matthew 7, 22, are going to argue with me, but God, we did this and we did that. And all they're going to hear is, I never knew you. It's too serious to dilute, brothers and sisters. Kyle Idleman wrote this in his book. Jesus did not come to earth so that you would be better behaved or to tweak your personality or to fine-tune your manners or to even smooth out the rough spots. Jesus didn't even come to this earth to change you. The truth of the matter is, Jesus came to earth so that you and I could die. End quote. Kyle Idleman in Not a Fan. You say, what's that supposed to mean? You remember the verse we saw last week, Luke 9:23. If you got your Bible, open it up. Whatever translation you got. Luke 9:23. We looked at it last week. Do you remember what Jesus said? He once again saw the crowds. We've seen crowds in every fan or follower sermon. We've seen crowds of people. And Jesus has laid out something to the crowds. And again in Luke 23, he saw the crowds. And he said, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower. You see what he's saying? You are welcome, crowds. Crowds in America in the 21st century, churches around the world, churches in America, people around the world. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. I'm reading from New Living Translation this morning. The other translation said, you must deny yourself. The New Living says, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You see the importance of that verse, brothers and sisters? Until we get self picked up and out of the way, we can't be his follower because self is still in the way. We've got to deny ourselves. We've got to take up our cross and follow. He said, if anybody wants to, you're welcome. But this is what we have got to do. And so an Idleman writes, he didn't come so you'd be better behaved or to tweak your personality or to fine-tune your manners. He came so that we would die to self, take up our cross, and follow him. That's why he came. How many like C.S. Lewis? He wrote a lot of pretty cool books, didn't he? In Mere Christianity, here's what C.S. Lewis wrote. Christ says, give me your all. I don't want so much of your time, and I don't want so much of your money, and I don't want so much of your work. I want you, Lewis writes. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. There's the dying part, Jesus said. The denying part. The taking up our cross part. Continuing C.S. Lewis's quote, no half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and cut off a branch there. I want the whole tree, end quote. And so friends, simply put, to follow Jesus, we've got to start by denying ourselves. And thinking we've got all the answers and got the way and got the abilities and everything else to get to heaven and take up our cross to follow. Jesus wants followers who are willing to follow, to say yes before they even know the request. You still with me? When he said to Matthew was sitting in the tax collector's booth and he said, "Come follow me." Matthew got up, left his tax collecting job, and he followed. When he went to Andrew and Peter and James and John, they were mending nets and they were fishing. They're on the seashore with their fathers. He said, "Come follow me." They left their stuff, the Bible says, and they began to follow. That is the attitude that Jesus is looking for. Jesus wants followers who are willing to follow, to say, "Yes, Lord," before the question of where to is even asked. That's what he wants. Our attitude, our surrender, our denial of self, and say, "Yes, Lord," before he ever asks the question about where do you want me to go or how do you want me to serve. He wants us to say, "Yes, Lord." And so I've been asking us for a month to contemplate, friends, are we a fan or follower?